The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
At the line. Schedule's out, Tyler.
Took forever, huh?
Oh my gosh. I'm sitting there over the weekend. I'm looking at it. I was even thinking about trying to get tickets to game one and trying to plan around it. I'm like,
oh, nice.
Well, I didn't get it done because we didn't get the sky. I didn't find out till this morning when they were actually playing the game. At first, I was wondering if they were going to play on Sunday. And then I was like, okay, well, surely they're going to play on Monday. Nope, Avalanche not playing until Tuesday.
They're playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in St. Louis, Monday in St. Louis, and, well, you know, do you need more games after that?
Oh, there we go. How you feeling? You feeling domination again?
Well, I feel great about it because, Gabe Landeskog is going to be on with us in about 3 minutes. Maybe I'll save why I feel, I shouldn't do that. I'll just tell you why now. They won 9 games in a row late in the season and then went on a skid. And Landeskog wasn't playing, by the way, because he was coming back from his surgery. And they were just out of sorts. They go up to Winnipeg. They just played lousy, Tyler. Just crappy. And it was just kind of a lousy, crappy road trip form in general. And you could see it a little bit of a skid, or at least some people thought it was. And they had that moment. They had the leadership is going to address the team,
yep,
sort of moment.
Yeah. It was an awkward point. It felt weird. It was like, where'd all the vibes gone?
They needed to prove to themselves just in one game that everything was cool. And that one game that they proved to themselves everything was cool was against the Blues.
Yes, it was.
So, and that was just right at the end of the season. Then they lost to Nashville in overtime. Look how much that mattered. And never mind the foolishness about, you know, what was going on with the Wild, where they didn't even play anybody, and the Wild are gone now. So the team in their way right now is a team that when they knew they had to bond themselves and get themselves together, they dominated.
Yep.
So what the heck? And the Blues, by the way, at the time, they were all battling for position and where they were going to sit. That game mattered for St. Louis as well. So what in the world is different than a couple weeks ago?
It's round two. I guess that's what's a little bit different. They've got that round two thing just hanging over their heads right now until they get past it. That's what's a little bit different. But, you know, I don't feel it. I don't think they feel it. It doesn't feel like there's any negative energy coming out of that building right now. I do think the Avalanche should dominate in this series. Very similar to the way they handled Nashville. Will it be a sweep? Probably not. But in the big picture, I feel like that when we look back on it, that's what it should look like.
So I hope. Yesterday, they had a pretty vigorous practice yesterday. They were doing like some serious 5-on-5 stuff yesterday. Today wasn't quite as intense, but they got in some, you know, kind of good, solid conditioning work and then worked more on special teams.
Well, it's been a while. I mean, they had to get some good work in over this break because, hey, man, that's a long time off.
Dude, it's been crazy.
Although the Blues have been off for a while, too. So.
Well, right. And Bednar's now spoke of that a couple of times. Like, well, whatever advantage we may have had, I mean, what is that now?
Sure.
I mean, nothing compared to the Blues. They've been off as well. I just don't think it really matters. And it was so encouraging. Even yesterday, by the way, Gabe Landeskog, who's going to join us, he took a maintenance day yesterday. But he was back on the ice today. He was skating around. And I'm looking at him today. I'm like, wow. Like, really, at a practice right now, everybody's here. Kemper's back. Eric Johnson was back. Landeskog was back. Everybody was there.
That's what you want. You want to be peaking at the right time, right at the end of the season. Not only you want to be playing great hockey, but you want to get healthy and you want to get the bodies back. And getting Gabe back was a huge part of that.
No doubt. Thanks to our listeners in Louisville for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. So to see Landeskog back was absolutely fantastic. He's been such a tremendous leader and captain and just all-around good fella. And he joins us right now on the RamosLaw.com text line. Gabe, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being on. You know, I was talking to Tyler here just briefly, and I know you weren't back with the team quite yet, but there was a moment late in the season before the Blues in the regular season that there was a need for some of the leaders to stand up and just get everybody's attention. Can you talk about, and then you guys came out and did it, you know, against the Blues right then and there. And it just felt like that was just like a check, just a little check about not to lose our focus and to be on point for what we really have left in the year. What was that all about?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, the regular season, it's so long and it really is a marathon. And so is the playoffs in a way. But the regular season is just a different animal. And I think for us, when we had spent so much of that playing some really, really good hockey and getting some really good results, and then towards the end of the year, you know, we were jockeying for position with Florida, obviously, for the President's Trophy, and we had kind of secured home ice through the first three rounds already. And, you know, and it, some of those games can sometimes be a little tricky for players because, you know, nobody wants to get hurt. You want to keep your habits tight and your systems tight. But that extra juice isn't always quite there. So that was just some things were slipping, and it was just a matter of getting guys kind of dialed in again and making sure that, you know, we're really creating some winning habits and keeping our structure tight heading into the playoffs. And I think the guys did a really good job of that. You know, it wasn't maybe the last 15 games the way we wanted to play them, but at the same time, you know, once you get in the playoffs, it's a new season and you just got to make sure your habits and stuff like that is tight. And I think the guy's done a good job of that.
Well, you guys certainly created some winning habits in the first round there. But, you know, you're going up against a team that you've got recent history with from last year. Actually, why don't we just start right there? Is there any bad blood left with the Blues from last year?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a division opponent, right? And a lot of those guys have been around for a long time. And we, you know, we matched up against them for years now. And obviously with the playoffs last year, that, you know, it doesn't take much for you to start creating some hate against the guys you play against in the playoffs.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it's four games or seven games, you end up disliking them towards the end of it anyways. So, you know, but at the same time, it's a different season. They got a different team. We got a different team, you know, and I'm sure they're going to be hungry to, you know, to get some revenge and get us back. And we want to, you know, keep moving. We don't want them to be standing in our way in our quest for a cup. So, it should be a good series, and we're excited to get going here after some time off.
Gabe Landeskog is our guest. It was a weird amount of time off. I mean, you were being asked today about coaching your kid's soccer team. I mean, it was just kind of crazy that you had that kind of time. Maybe we should address, like, what you were doing to keep yourself busy. It's such an odd time to be doing that. What has this week been like?
Yeah, it's been good. You know what? I think it's good for everybody to get some time away as well. You know, obviously myself and a bunch of other guys have families that keep us busy on a daily basis, but even for the guys that don't, you know, to get away from the game a little bit and get your mind off of it. I spent a couple of nights of not watching hockey, whereas normally in the playoff time, it's the best time of year to watch hockey. So watch quite a bit, even other games out in the East, but spent some time with my family. My dad's in town for the playoffs, and obviously my kids. Spent some quality time with them, and yeah, soccer team. We had a last practice of the season for this team of, I think there's 12 of them, about 2 and 3 years old. And you know,
nice.
It's not much of soccer; it's more just organized chaos on a soccer field.
It's, right, it's a herd.
But I must say, I used to play soccer growing up, and all kinds of sports, and I got a lot of respect for the coaches that coached me growing up, because that's no joke. You got to be dialed in the whole time practice going on, because my daughter was smelling flowers. She wanted to go get my water break. It was quite chaotic at times, but a lot of fun, and it definitely gets your mind off of off of hockey for a little bit.
Well, you guys earned that right, and I'm glad you were able to enjoy a moment with the family. And, you know, Gabe, it feels like the outside opinion is that when you play the Avalanche, your best shot is to get physical. How do you guys walk that line of protecting yourselves, playing tough, yet making sure to skate away, like Coach Bednar said, when you can, knowing that teams are going to they're gonna be coming after you trying to get physical?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If teams want to play that way, that's fine. You know, we can handle ourselves physically, and, you know, and if that you saw against Nashville, especially game one, that was clearly their game plan, and it didn't end up working out well for them. You know, we try to stay focused on what we got to do, and we like to play fast and with pace and get teams kind of stuck on three-quarter ice in their zone and just keep coming in waves, and that's the way we want to play. And, you know, it's hard playing that physical style of game, scrumming it up after whistles. It gets exhausting after a while. And I think, you know, it's nothing that we want to necessarily get into, but we can definitely handle our own.
Yeah, it was interesting against Nashville because I think they realized, Gabe, if they're going to get physical with you guys, they're just going to end up in the box. It's not to their benefit. And the toughest game they really played, I would say, would be game four when they really did kind of back off and play a different style of hockey against you guys. And it worked for a little bit. I love, too, the fact that, you know, it was, I mean, you only trailed for 5 minutes in the whole series.
Yep.
But, you know, the story goes that you kind of yelled at the guys a little bit when you got down and strained everything up. At least that's what Kale said. And maybe you can take us through that. I mean, it was only 5 minutes. But, I mean, maybe you can take us through those moments where you just had to just snap back into it for a second.
Well, I think, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but playoffs is all about momentum. And momentum shifts in hockey is a funny thing because once you have the momentum on your side, you want to. How do you keep it? And then once it's against you and the other team's got it, how do you snap out of it? And for us, that was just kind of a period in time where we weren't skating that hard. Everybody was kind of watching what the puck carrier was doing, and we weren't really connected like we try to be. So that was just a TV timeout that I felt like it was a good opportunity to just get the guys dialed back in. Because sometimes it can, you know, especially on the road, buildings loud and things like that. It can be hard once they start tilting the ice in their favor that snap out of it. But we were able to, guys responded really well, and we were able to, you know, push back the other way, start skating, getting on loose pucks again, start winning battles.
Yeah.
And it ended up working out in our favor, and it was a big game four win for us. So looking to kind of pick up where we left off in terms of that series, I thought we did a lot of good things, and we know this is going to be a different series. It's not going to be easy by any means. It's, you know, it's a really tough team we're playing against, and, you know, this St. Louis Blues team, they got 8 or 9 20-goal scorers this season. That's some serious depth, so it'll be a good test for us and a good challenge.
You know, Gabe, it's you personally, I think it's remarkable because, sure, if you were up with Val and or rather Miko and Nate, you know, that line's unbelievable, right? I mean, incredible. But the fact that you are on a different line, I don't even want to say second line because that's not what it is, because your depth is so ridiculous. But it does feel like it was unique to get Berkey some confidence, to get Val some confidence, right? To mix things up. And perhaps that meant not a sacrifice on your part, but maybe a different role to be on, I guess I'll roll my eyes and say, the second line. I wonder if you can philosophically talk about your responsibility and what you think you need to bring to that unit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a part of trying to win. I mean, everybody has to accept their role, whatever it is, and just do whatever you have to do to help the team win. And I think, you know, we have the luxury of being able to, you know, mix lines up and being able to, you know, sometimes you put Val on that top line with Nate and Miko, and sometimes, you know, you can put Berkey up there and maybe me and Val together with Nas, or, you know, there's a bunch of different combinations. And Lekki, Arturi Lehkonen, has been an amazing addition to our team. He's just kind of a Swiss Army knife that you can fit in anywhere, and he's going to, you know, and he's going to create, and he's going to create havoc, and he's going to get in on the forecheck. And so I think that just, you know, I think everybody would do that in that situation, is, you know, just accept what you have to do to make the team better. And I think that's what we're all trying to do, is we're all trying to pull the rope in the same direction, and, you know, understand that we're
very dangerous team. And it's not, we're not a one line team, you know, we're a very deep team and we can, you know, we can hurt you in many different ways. And I think to have the depth and to spread it out, I think can be a very, it's a luxury that not many teams have. And sometimes you put a certain line together and they're just rolling. So you want to keep that going. And I felt like the connection me, Nas, and Lecky had in that round against Nashville, I think is something we want to build off of and get them better.
Do you have to watch Kadri's back? Do you feel responsible for that or not?
Nah, he can handle his own. But, I mean, I would stick up for Nas just like I would stick up for anybody else on our team. And I know he would have my back if need be. So, you know, he's a tough guy that's been tested a lot and obviously been, you know, he's put himself in some tough situations in the past. But at the same time, that's the past. And, you know, we're in 2022. Nas has grown a lot and he's been a blast to play with, and to see how he's played this season has been awesome, and he's been huge for us. So, you know, it's something we're looking forward to keep going and just keep building off of that.
Gabe, you're just talking about all the weapons you guys have and how dangerous you are. You started out the season as the favorites to win the cup. You played fantastic all year long. Right at the end of the year, it was a little bit of a hiccup, but I'm not sure if that was planned, take it easy a little bit or not. But then you get into the playoffs and you're dominating again. Is that a mindset that you guys embrace of how talented you are in the weapons? Or do you kind of downplay that a little bit and try to find a little bit of an underdog role?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really, to be completely blunt, I don't really care what the preseason odds are saying or whatever. It's,
sure.
It's, you know, we have expectations internally on what we want to do, and I think that's what really matters. You know, we want to win this thing, and whether people believe in us or not, you know, it doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. For us, it's, you know, like I said, going through a regular season, it's about, you know, creating an identity as a team and then to be able to carry that through 82 games and fight the ups and downs and be able to establish your game. So when you come this time of year, it is just sort of habits and it's just a winning mentality. And it's just, you know, you're like a well-oiled machine, and that's what, and there's going to be ups and downs in the playoffs as well. And we know we're not looking to, it's not going to be sweeps all the way. It's, you know, we know it's going to be tough series, and even against Nashville, even though it ends up being 4-0 in the series, it's still, you know, every game is tough, and every game you have to prepare for a battle. And I think that's what we're going to do here in round two as well. We know there's going to be some adversity at times, and it's just a matter of fighting that and being able to find a way through it. And that's what good teams do. And, you know, we've just about gotten started and we're excited for what's ahead here.
All right, couple quick ones that are fun ones here. You got a goal when you didn't touch the puck like a dude knocked it in himself, but you got credit for it. Do you feel guilty about that, or do you like, no?
Hell no.
I earned that. I was close enough to it.
Yeah, no, I don't feel guilty at all. It was a funny, just kind of a chaotic, typical one of my goals that just happened in the crease, and guys laugh about it because I don't normally score any highlight reel goals, and that wasn't either. So, right place at the right time, getting knocked over, and somehow find its way into the net.
Yeah,
so,
it was funny because we were talking about the next day, and somebody goes, "Well, and Landy scored," and I'm like, "He did?" I go, "Oh right. Yeah, well, he got credit for it, but that's true."
Yeah.
Last one. I know you're not going to necessarily brag about yourself, but I just want to put you in two different scenarios to see what the difference is being here in America and Sweden. So you're at your daughter's, I think you said daughter, soccer practice. I'm sure a couple people said hi to you and said good things to you. I'm sure that does happen to you on a regular basis. Am I right about that? Every now and then people say hi, that sort of thing, right?
Yep.
Okay. If we were in Sweden, what would that be like for you if you were doing the same exact thing in Sweden?
I don't even know if anybody would raise an eyebrow or notice me. It's just,
really?
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny. It's, I mean, sometimes it happens even back there, but not at all to the same extent, as over here.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot more blonde blue-eyed guys over there, I guess.
Well, Avalanche fans love you, man. So right. I guess that doesn't surprise me too much.
All right, Gabe. Well, man, we love talking with you. And, boy, you're such a incredible, iconic Colorado sports figure. And well, it'll be rocking, and it'll be great to have you guys back in action tomorrow night. And so thank you for the time, and best of luck against the Blues.
Go do it again, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care. There you go. Gabe Landeskog.
That was cool. That was fun. I like hearing the habit stuff. You know, winning is a habit. Doing good things is a habit. Being in the right place is a habit. Mm. You know, they know exactly what the opinion is of the outside, that when you play the Avalanche, you got to get physical. And they all keep just saying the same thing. Bring it. Let's go. Like, that's what you want to do. Did you not see what happened when we played Nashville? They tried to do that. We didn't back down. We also skated around them.
Yeah, well, Gabe's... he's kind of a badass just by himself. He's not a flower or anything.
You know, I noticed Jared Bednar's changed his tune a little bit over the last few days. When he was talking during the Nashville series, it was all skate away, skate away. If something goes down, skate away. Mm-hmm. He's now kind of opened up a little bit. He said, you know, we know that people are going to try to get physical with us, and that's fine. We'll get physical back. And if we got to do that a time or two, this isn't verbatim, but this is basically the gist of what he was saying. And if we got to get into it a time or two, that's okay. We'll get into it a time or two.
Gabe is such a amazing blend of talent, toughness, and leadership. And you'd never know he's from Sweden just talking to him, that's for sure. He's incredible. Such a bright guy.
It's rare to get a guy back at the end of the year at the right time, and everybody's peaking, everybody's getting healthy. Such an integral part of what you're doing.
Hey, by the way, let's not sleep on the fact that because he's not on that top line, Tyler, inevitably he's not going to have the same points or goals or that sort of thing. And they really use that spot to bring other guys' confidence back throughout the course of the year. So there's Gabe Landeskog, the captain of the team, who's willing to just, you know, sort of, you
know. Play his role.
Well, that's right. Not that it's not important. It's critically important. He's on the first power play unit and all of that. But, yeah, you could see where, like, that's a, you know, Mikko Rantanen leads the team in scoring. You don't think that would be Gabe Landeskog if he was on that line?
Right,
I'm sure it would be.
Right. Yeah, that's what they got. That's how unique it is. I thought that was also interesting that he talked about all the weapons that they have. You know, they know just how good they are. And you can't hide that from yourselves. You know, the Michael Jordans of the world, they try to find ways to get mad at people that diss them. And, you know, you get mad at George Karl because he didn't say hi to you at a restaurant. But they know. The Avalanche know right now, and it's not in a cocky way. It's just they know who they are. And if they go out there and handle their business, there's no reason why they shouldn't go out and do something similar to what they did in Nashville. And by the way, who knew the hockey guys were such a great interview? I mean, that was a fantastic interview.
I was just going to say that. How great was it? It's not in a press conference. It's just, he's just chilling. Yeah. He can just really talk.
He was relaxed. He was comfortable. He gave us great insight to what was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was tremendous.
He may be the only one, though. No, I'm teasing. But he's quite capable of doing that. Gabe Landeskog. Wow, that was pretty cool. Right on. All right, the water cooler coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Sorry, we're taking all the windows with us.
All right. The Waltons. They're buying how do you even describe this? Because it's like really like a block.
Yeah.
For $22 million.
They're buying a neighborhood.
Of three different houses that you would obviously...
Four houses? Four different properties.
Four properties.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. It's over in Cherry Hills and they're dropping $22 million down. What does it mean?
Wow. Well, Russ Wilson, he's been 25 on his. Walton's just been 22 on four properties. I'm going to assume that's going to include some renovations and maybe a new house or three that goes on those. I mean, how many homes can you bid on? Can you fit on all those? This is Ben Walton, so it's not Robson Walton, but in my mind, this is absolutely a sign of something. You kidding me? I mean, just out of nowhere, you've got a Walton family member dropping $22 million on properties here in Cherry Hills. For sure, that is a sign that the Walton family feels like they're about to establish deep, deep roots here in Colorado.
What else should we look at? I mean, to me, this is the tip off that this is... I look at this as kind of done. By the way...
You know what it is. It's, hey, Robson, are you going to get outbid? No. Okay, then I'm going to spend $22 million and we're going to get this done.
Did Byron Allen already come and visit?
Byron Allen is going to visit. I don't think he's been here yet, but it was announced last week that he is going to have a visit.
Okay, so it hasn't happened yet, but he's made it this far.
Yes.
Did Foley ever come and visit?
Not that I'm aware of. I believe we've only had two visits so far, but we know that Byron Allen is scheduled to.
Okay. I'm still worried about our coffee bet, like what we got going on here.
Yeah, you got to bet that all five are going to show up.
Well,
hey, man, if Byron Allen is coming, that's good news for you. I honestly cannot believe that Byron Allen is still hanging around in the mix on all this. Yeah. I can't believe it.
All right, next on the line.
You blew it!
You blew it.
You blew it! You had it on and you blew it!
And you blew it!
You blew it.
The Suns. Suns and four guy, how we doing? How's everybody doing there with the Suns? In one of the more epic collapses of all time, the not that they just lost a game seven, it was the way they lost. It was like Luka looking at, it was Devin like knocking the ball out of Luka's hands and just the disdain that Luka was looking at him with. It was just everything.
Oh, yeah.
It was humiliating top to bottom. How did that happen?
I don't know, but I loved it. The Suns got absolutely beat down for game six and game number seven. Chris Paul has never won a game seven. Chris Paul will never win an NBA championship.
Dude, did you see Boban going after people at the end of the game?
I don't think so. What happened there?
Well, Boban can't move, okay?
Right.
He cannot move, so he gets put out in meaningless situations and meaningless moments, and he's out on the court, and I think a dude from the Suns hit like a 30-footer like at the buzzer to cut it to like a 33-point loss or whatever it was. And I think Boban got offended by something. They were trying to shake hands, and Boban like almost got in a fight.
Okay, well, I guess those things happen. I don't know. All I know is I know this, D-Mac. The day that Suns and Four guy came out, I think America just kind of, they all united. And everybody became anti-Phoenix Suns fans. That's what happened at that point in time. So I can't even quite explain the hate for Chris Paul and the Suns. I'm all about it, though, and I love seeing them get beat down.
All right, moving on.
What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want? What do you want?
Drew Brees puts out this quote. Despite speculation from the media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again.
Mm-hmm.
I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know.
Might partner up with Jake Plummer. No, that's handball.
Right. Much different than pickleball.
Yeah, much different. Right.
Okay, what's Drew Brees doing here?
Well, first off, there was speculation that NBC had just fired him, right? And it didn't go well. The Drew Brees broadcasting experiment didn't go well.
Can you tell me how good you think he is?
You know, it's hard to say because he actually... he was really only calling, like, college games. He was calling Notre Dame, and then he was doing NTV shows. I didn't think he was good by any means.
Right.
You know, it certainly felt like it was not a natural rhythm for him. You know, he's going to get a lot of heat for this because he did not have a good final year. And everybody's going to say, oh, what a joke that would be if Drew Brees came back. You know what, D-Mac? I've changed my mind on this stuff.
And, oh, okay.
And if Drew Brees wants to play football, I said go for it, man. Go for it. Do it. Don't have regrets. Go back if you want to play again. By the way, despite what Dennis Allen said today, acting like Jameis Winston's their guy, they would welcome him back with open arms. And because they don't have the franchise quarterback just yet. So Drew Brees, I know this. He's good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you're good enough to be one of the top 32 guys in the world and you want to play football, go for it. Forget what the rest of the world thinks.
Well, then why not go play football? I support it. Go for it.
I think it was in jest. I really do. I think that was mostly in jest. And the point was, hey, I haven't been fired by NBC just yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm thinking about a lot of things right now. Dennis Allen acted like they hadn't had any conversations with Drew Brees. He was totally shocked by it. But, hey, man, if Peyton Manning came out after 1 year off, do you have any doubts that he could have had another successful year?
No doubts about it. In fact,
as down of a year as it was physically, he could have come back and absolutely won 10 or 11 games, maybe more, for any team in the NFL.
Tyler, hindsight being unbelievably 2020, we should have all been begging Peyton to play one more year and said, seriously, dude, you don't have to make your mind up now.
Well, especially after Brock left.
Right?
Right.
Take the summer off. Wouldn't that have been, I would have, but I think Peyton just had it in his mind, like, that's it, that's the end, and I don't think he felt all that welcomed.
I don't think he was wanted back, to be honest.
I know, right, stupid, right? I mean, especially when Brock left.
Yeah.
We should have just gone and knocked on Peyton's door and say, unretire.
I mean, it was easy and it was fun to make fun of the all-time greats when all of a sudden they're acting human and they're having down years. Peyton Manning still won a Super Bowl that year. Ben Roethlisberger at the end of the year this year, what did he do? He started playing good football. He got the Steelers relevant again. Yeah. Drew Brees, if you wanted to come play another year, they've got Jameis Winston. Take him back if they want to.
Here's what I think this is. First of all, I think he's ticked off about maybe rumors about being fired from NBC.
Yeah, well, it's mainly saying, hey, I didn't get fired. Correct. That's what that tweet is.
Correct. I think he is thinking about coming back and playing football. However, he's not decided on that. So that's when he threw in the garbage about pickleball and senior golf and all that. That kind of was thrown in there. So I think it is in his head whether he should come back or not. And he's just kind of gently sort of testing the waters.
Maybe this is the new thing for guys. You know, you retire, you suck at broadcasting, Jason Witten, go back to football. Yeah, Drew Brees, go back to football, right?
What was Gronk doing for a year?
Right, well,
nothing. We have talked, how about Ricky Williams spent time away from football, came back, and actually played really well when he came back.
That's a little different, though. I mean, that's a guy that was in his prime when he walked away. Drew Brees isn't in his prime, but
no, I get it, but I just think sometimes, guys, if you tell me, Tyler, if you piled on the milkshakes a year after being away, do you think you could have gotten another 2 or 3 years in the NFL?
I think the majority of positions in the NFL could take a year or two off. I could not. Play an offensive line, when you lose the weight, when you stop working out, that takes you a decade to get back to where you once were. But as a quarterback, as a running back, as an athlete, sure, you could take some time off.
That's what. Meet the Wilsons. Does it ever end with these guys? I mean, we seriously came up with this idea because we thought, oh, it'd be funny now. It doesn't.
Well, this is going to happen for the next 12 years.
When does it stop?
Right.
Oh, okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's right.
I see what you did.
I did a hit. Oh, man, I did a hit in Seattle today. Man,
I see what you did there.
The hate is insane.
All right, well, I want to hear about that.
All right.
You're very subtle there, but it doesn't stop with these guys.
No.
It does not stop. Meet the Wilsons. We'll get to it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Dean.
All right, let me just go through just everything here, Tyler, because it seems like a lot.
Good.
Is Sierra going to be in, like, a swimsuit issue or something? Or
yes, she's on the cover. Sierra is now a swimsuit, Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model.
Cover!
And apparently that was her lifelong dream. So she tweeted that out, lifelong dream. Russell Wilson tweeted out the photos of his wife. And,
wow.
We've got a power couple, man.
Then she was performing in front of, did I catch it, 60,000 people the other day? And he's like, Russell's in the crowd somewhere?
So I didn't see Russell in the crowd, but yes, she...
I assume he took the photo, or maybe not. I don't know.
I guess. I'm not sure. But yeah, she was performing at a huge, huge event, and she is as big of a deal, if not bigger, than Russell Wilson in the entire world.
Okay, so she's performing in front of 60,000 people recently. She's going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yes, yes.
And then Russell wrote her a letter?
He did. He they've got the Why Not You Foundation, and everything they do is about why not you? Why not you be the one that's the next president of the United States? Why not you go be an astronaut?
Well, that's
right?
A wonderful sentiment.
It is. He wrote, it's a very long thank you letter that I read the whole thing, and it was, hey, wife, why not you go be on the front page of Sports Illustrated? It was touching. It was loving.
Was it genuine?
Oh, yeah. I think it was genuine. I mean, I don't have any reason to not think it was genuine.
I'm sure it was very genuine.
Yeah. But the why not you was, that was the theme of it for his wife. Like, uh-huh. Why not you? Why not you go be on the front page?
And then, did I catch over the weekend they're starting their own clothing line?
Well, like, that's probably like the 12th line. I mean, what do you, with their own clothing line? We know she's got a line. We know Russell Wilson's got
but there's going to be like a store.
He's got a swimsuit line.
And right, right. But a Denver fashion store, House of LRD.
Oh, I missed that one.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. They got like their own, like.
It's like how Beast Mode's got his retail locations. We're going to have, what's the name of it?
Oh, man. Oh, we may have to do some research on that. I could have sworn.
In Denver.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like in Cherry Creek or something, like,
okay.
House of LR, there's an L and an R and a C and a
sure
W in there or
sure.
Something. Like a fancy sort of schwanky sort of place.
Well, they are fancy, schwanky type of folks. You know, the Ben Walton just spent $22 million on his Cherry Hills properties. They spent $25 million, right?
It's called the House of LR and C.
All right, you got to tell us what that stands for.
Right. I understand the R and the C, but what's the L?
Love. Not Russell and Sierra. What are you thinking? It's love, respect, and care, D-Mac.
Oh, my bad. I just watched a movie, House of Gucci. That did not go well for anybody named Gucci, ooh, by the way. I didn't
really
not know that story. Do you know the story of the House of Gucci?
Was he murdered?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that much.
By his wife.
Yeah, yeah. You know, money makes people do crazy things, D-Mac.
And then she goes to jail, and so everybody who runs Gucci, there's no Guccis involved at all right now with Gucci. Because they're either murdered by their wife or in prison. So I think the House of Love, Respect,
the House of Gucci sounds not like a safe place to be.
No.
LR&C, though.
That's a good place to be.
Love, respect, and care. Why not you? Why not you go be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, D-Mac?
I don't know. Why not? Why not all of us? They don't stop.
No.
I gotta know about you. Are you doing, like, weekly hits in Seattle? What are you doing?
Well, once the season starts, I'm gonna be doing a weekly hit.
Are you?
Yes.
Why? Now, why?
Why?
Why are you doing that?
Well, because I want to, number one. I mean, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
All right. Okay, fine. The
reasons are obvious. Obviously, Seattle is going to be invested in tracking Russell Wilson. I mean, they're going to have a long-term commitment.
Why?
Because they're trying to enjoy the pain that they think that Denver is about to go through. The amount of questions that I got.
Pain?
Dude, D-Mac, the amount of questions that I got today from Mike Salk. He's a good guy, man. He said to say hello to you. But
he's a great guy.
He was talking about, man, you guys really want to pay a 35-year-old quarterback like that? I mean, are you going to pay him all guaranteed money? Is it like you guys are okay with that? You, Tyler, you predicted 10-7. You're okay with all they gave up for 10. Well, Mike, I'm not talking about year one here. Like, I don't really care if they go 10-7 in year one.
Right.
That's not what it's about here. And then the old, Russell Wilson, his whole game is about his legs at 35 years old. I think the Seahawks just saw that coming, and they just realized his game is too dependent on his legs. And, you know, at 35 years old, we don't want to stay committed to a guy that his game's just really going to fall apart as he gets older.
They're trying to get you to talk crap.
Well, they absolutely are hoping that the Denver Broncos are a hot mess. And I kept telling them, you know, you think it's pain to have to pay Russell Wilson $280 million guaranteed? You think that's pain? Wait until you enjoy the next 6 years of quarterback purgatory. That's not pain.
Listen, I understand you're a high-quality entertainment of Seattle legend in your own right. So having you on, sure, I could see that happening no matter what. But it just seems to me they're just looking to have you on to talk crap about Russell Wilson.
Well, they definitely want to feel vindicated. I'm telling you, that's where everybody's at. It's not just the organization. It's the building. You know, I did ask him. I said, so when he shows up day one, is he getting a video montage, number one?
Oh, good question.
And number two,
what'd they say
will he get booed or will he get cheered? And he did not think he would get a video montage. Of course he's going to get a video montage. How do you not give Russell Wilson
it's
a video
montage? It's
still
Seattle, right?
Right, right.
Okay, they're nice people up there, right?
Well, some
whoa.
Of them.
Yeah. Whoa!
No, I got nothing but love for my time in Seattle, but, you know,
okay.
Different folks out there now. He thinks that it's going to be probably just split down the middle. You know, there's going to be some people that are cheering him the whole time, but because there's not going to be introductions for the opposing team, he's like, you're just not going to feel it. I said, you're out of your mind if you think you're not going to feel it. You're going to feel it the entire game. And they are, I think the entire Seattle fan base is at the point where they're more or less actively rooting against Russell Wilson.
Wow. We got to be there, right?
Oh, you don't know. You were gone. I already bought my tickets. I'm going.
Okay.
So my whole family's
going. One way
going.
Or the other.
I'll be out there.
Oh, I got it.
I hope the station is going. Obviously, it'd be great if you come out, but we bought our tickets. We're going.
Oh, we got it.
I'm taking the kids. I'm taking the wife.
You're there.
We're going to have some fun.
Come on, Raj.
Now,
don't we all as a radio station have to go up for that one? Shouldn't we all be broadcasting Monday from Seattle?
I think it'd be because it's on Monday in particular.
Right.
That feels like such a no-brainer. It would be awesome. Of course, we got fantastic sponsors that somebody would jump on board to sponsor that thing.
You would hope. I mean, that is, I love, by the way, maybe we can go through the schedule. I know I'm a little bit late on this, but.
Well, I do want to get your take on it. I mean, that's tradition. When you get the schedule, we got to do the predictions. I did mine. I've not heard yours yet. So we definitely should go through the schedule.
Okay. Well, maybe we can. Why don't we do that? And by the way, and a lot of people have reached out, I did explain what was going on with my brother. He did pass away. And we went through it in length to start the show, and it is posted at denverfan.com. So instead of going through the whole thing again, I'd refer you to that. And I just want to say, Tyler, thank you to everybody with their well wishes, and the support has been it's been amazing.
Well, we
it's
love you, man. And it's been a real hard week, we know, but you got a lot of support out there, and we're all grateful to have you around.
So. Yeah, and listen, the best thing about the foolishness that we do is the foolishness we do.
Yep.
So let's go through the schedule. I'd love to do that. And it starts off with the Broncos and the Seahawks.
I got to get this in. I'm sorry. I know you're taking this break. I just got to read this quick text quick.
Sure.
It says, Tyler, I heard your hit on Mike Salk's show this morning. Nice work. Of course, we as Hawks fans are salty and bitter about losing Wilson. How would you, if Broncos fans, felt about losing Elway after 10 years? That's why I hope he sucks this year, which also impacts the Hawks draft picks. That's how the Seahawks fans are feeling, man. They're rooting against them.
Oh, we got to be there. We have got... That is too much. All right, let's get to it. Football 4 coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.